Today's episode of Locked On Eagles is sponsored by Pepsi. This football season has been different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch for the rest of 2020, Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com today to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Eagles fans? Welcome into the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It's episode 2 this week of 5 downloaded into your phone when you subscribe to Locked On Eagles on any podcast platform. It can be Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Megaphone, you name it. We are available on all platforms, 5 episodes a week. Louis DiBiase here, one of your co-hosts, alongside my other co-host, Gino Camilleri. Gino, what's up, brother? The Eagles got a big win, a Rams-like win in 2018, a Giants win like 2019 to save their season at 4-8-1. They are still in it, in the race for the NFC East title. So, me and you have been talking a lot of long-term discussions, a lot of future things here because we feel like the season was a lost cause, and it still kind of feels that way, but they gave us a little slimmer of hope yesterday, or on Sunday, to where we can maybe start talking about the 2020 season again before we quickly just start getting back into mock draft mode and start talking about maybe a top 6 pick. Gino, they might play their way out of it again for the third straight year. I mean, we'll see. It's only one win, but every time, I said it yesterday, and I think you'll agree, every time we finally hit like complete rock bottom where we feel like there's a 0% chance the season is saved, that's kind of when they bring it back. 2018, after the loss to New Orleans when they dropped to 4-6, and then last year, it was after that Miami loss when they dropped to 5-7. Suddenly, this team wakes back up, and it kind of, again, it's only one game, but it kind of felt like that again on Sunday.
Absolutely, and that's funny that you said that because that's exactly what I said to Pete Bukowski mm-hmm. after first saying that he's welcome for giving Green Bay the first overall seed because we got smoked by him last week. Go out and beat that New Orleans team. And you're mm-hmm. right, Lou. Like, how many times are we going to say that this Eagles team, time is a flat circle? Here we are again with 4 weeks left. We go out and win that game. Yeah, it does. It's they get ready in December. We always say that they battle through adversity somehow, battle through this endless stretch of injuries and come together and put out an unbelievable game. Some things that kind of were puzzling to me in terms of how Doug Peterson lacked creativity up until this game somehow. And then, I mean, the defense, I think they've been on par with what they've done so far in the last four games. And then special teams, once again, Lou, how many times are we going to say that they cannot get three units ready to play every single Sunday? And after this season, I want to kind of go back and like see how each unit performed week to week and just prove that they cannot get three units ready to play. Like, that special teams unit, Lou, is a liability to this.
Yeah, it's a disaster.
It's an absolute train wreck. Your kicker can't make 20-yard kicks. Greg Ward doesn't know when he's going to decide to field a punt, if any time he's going to decide to field a punt. If it wasn't for Alex Singleton and Davion Taylor and some of these unbelievable special teams players in the coverage unit, I think Dave Phipp would probably be on the chopping block.
Yeah, I agree. And that's the thing. I mean, this team is still 4-8-1, and all three units are still not playing complementary football. Although at the same time, Gino, it was a nice change of pace to see Josh Sweat get that strip sack, and then the offense answers back with a touchdown drive. I mean, so there was a little bit of complementary football there, but yeah, you can never get all three phases on the same page. Special teams was a disaster again on Sunday, and today is stock up, stock down. I thought we've been talking quarterback to death, so let's bring back stock up, stock down as the Eagles brought back a win, and we'll get into the other positions of this roster, including special teams. I know Gino's going to get into it in stock down, but that's the thing, man. You got to put everything into context. It feels like this team is waking up a bit, and that's kind of what they've been doing the past 3 years, like we've both said. At the same time, of course, they are still 4-8-1. They're not playing complementary football yet, and we got to admit, the only reason they've been alive these last 3 years, honestly, and they've taken advantage of their opportunities 100%, but the reason there is an opportunity is because they are in the worst division in football. And so at 4-8-1, you're still only a game and a half out of the division lead. So everything's got to be, contextualized. But at the same time, man, I mean, they are alive.
They are alive, Lou, and the good thing is that Washington won that football game once again, and you still have to probably win three in a row, but when it's all said and done, you're going to see Washington probably win the division. I think they've, just with everything Ron Rivera has done, their evaluation in the draft the last couple of years, it's really paying off.
Oh, their roster's incredible, and they're red hot. Well, they've won four straight games.
Yeah, they're doing what you would expect a Ron Rivera, a well-coached team to do, mm-hmm. and just a very disciplined team, something that you haven't seen from a Washington team in some time, and hats off to them. And if the Giants can get right, they could win a few games down the stretch. But the thing is, it'll probably come down to that last game against Washington.
Feels like it, yeah.
I ultimately think that we do fall short, but I think you're going to see a lot more strengthen your evaluation in these last three games, and something that we really got a firsthand look at in that Saints game. I thought overall you were able to take away a lot of good and a lot of bad from that game, but mm-hmm. better more in a sense of a lot of the youth on the team, a lot of the aging free agents, a lot of the free agents you acquired this season, a lot of guys that are in the last year of their contract. I think you can kind of make a lot more decisions based off playing that good Saints team than a lot of the disasters that you had in weeks prior.
So if the Eagles do win the division, they're going to have to do it without some more key starters on both sides of the football. It was reported yesterday that safety Roddy McLeod tore his ACL against the New Orleans Saints, so he is out for the season. And Gino, this was the glue guy on defense, I think, mm-hmm. where Roddy McLeod didn't miss a snap all season. He was having a career year when it comes to coverage efficiency. And so that's a huge loss if the Eagles are going to win these final three games. And they can make it at 2-1, but they need a lot to go right. They need the Giants and Washington to lose multiple games, which is possible. But, you know, they're alive, but they're going to be limping through this season again without a key piece on defense and Roddy McLeod. And then it was reported today as well that right tackle Jack Driscoll is also out for the season with a significant MCL sprain. So some brutal injuries. Gino, the big one is McLeod, who mm-hmm. has been instrumental and so underrated. You know, you all offseason were calling for McLeod to be signed over Malcolm Jenkins. The Eagles did just that, and it was the right move. And this sucks for him, man, because now, I don't know, the safety future for this team is kind of getting scary to me. I mean, Kayvon Wallace, we haven't seen enough to really know if we can rely on him in 2021. McLeod's going to come off another serious ligament injury. That's two now in three seasons. And, you know, obviously Marcus Epps is terrible. What Will Parks is Orlando Scandrick 2.0 on Twitter. You know, he's gone. So you have Jalen Mills, and that's really it. The safety future, and you're a big safety guy, evaluator. That's going to be a position the Eagles really have to go in on grabbing talent this offseason through the draft, through free agency.
Well, if they would have drafted Chauncey Gardner-Johnson or Nasir Adderley or any of the guys that I wanted Jeremy Chinn, we wouldn't be in this situation. But hey, right now, maybe taking Jalen Hurts over Jeremy Chinn was the right choice for this football team. But I digress from that. But in total, Lou, I think that is one of the biggest downfalls of this team is been the injuries. And man, Rodney has been on an all-pro pace this year, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. His ability to play single high, his ability to crash down the alley, make big plays when necessary, he really took on that Malcolm Jenkins role. And the reason I was confident with letting Malcolm walk was because I trusted Rodney's ability, and I really think he settled into his role, especially with leadership. Hats off to him, man. Like, he's getting all the accolades, being just talked about so well from his teammates, from his coaching staff. You really saw what Rodney brought to this team, and I still think you'll get one or two more good years out of him. But you're right, Lou, you have to address that safety position in a big way in this offseason. The thing with Kevon Wallace is you actually played him last game, and I thought he did a decent job. I thought he came down and made some big hits, something that you had saw out of him at Clemson. You have to continue to allow these young guys to play, and now you have that chance, Lou, with Kevon Wallace being able to possibly take over that starting spot where Rodney was in there. And we always talk about the thing with injuries is it is kind of a two-edged sword, because, yes, you do lose a very good player, but you also are able to evaluate the talent on your roster. And man, oh man, with the cap, with how many draft picks you have, you don't have an abundance this year. I mean, you're going to have to find some stud players on your roster that, not even stud players, just guys that are able to play moving forward. And I think Kevon could be one of that guys. Marcus Epps has been that guy for Jim Schwartz. I don't know why. And hey, Jalen Mills is going to have to step up in a big way too, if he wants to make any money from somewhere next season. I mean, he has to really show, if anything, what he can do.
Right. Cause Mills is only on a 1 year deal. McLeod, you know, again, another torn ACL, although he tore, I think, his MCL in 2018, but that's two serious injuries in 3 years. And, you know, he does have another year on his contract, but again, outside of Kayvon Wallace right now, long-term, the safety future for the Eagles is very cloudy, and the Eagles will have to win the division without McLeod. Again, he tore his ACL, and then on offense, Jack Driscoll goes down. That's another offensive lineman with a significant MCL sprain. Jalen Hurts was named the starter, so that's the other news. That's obvious news, though, against Arizona. Today, we are going to talk about the other positions, because me and Gino have been talking quarterback to death, and justfully so. You know, Carson Wentz getting benched against Green Bay, and that's your franchise $100 million man. Completely dropping off the face of the earth in favor of a new rookie quarterback. But today I thought we'd do stock up, stock down. The Eagles brought back a win the first time in a month, so we're going to bring back stock up, stock down, which we normally do every Tuesday, and really get into the other positions on both offense, defense, and special teams. Louis DiBiase, Gino Camilleri, this is Locked On Eagles. We'll be right back, and we'll get into stock up. Today's episode of Locked On Eagles is brought to you by 1010. Now, you may have read about this in the New York Times or Forbes, and we're excited to tell you about it. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful commitment ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. And when they're gone, they're gone. We all know that the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people. And with 1010, it's been beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds. If you're making 2021 plans or looking for a unique and meaningful way to celebrate Valentine's Day, you're definitely going to want to check this out. Again, this is exciting. Limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launching on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. Again, that's BlueNile.com. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into this Tuesday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. It's episode 2 this week of 5. Download it into your phone when you subscribe to Locked On Eagles. There's not another Eagles podcast out there that's churning out more episodes than Gino and I. And today we are going to get into stock up, stock down. We've talked a lot about quarterback. We'll get into it again on Wednesday and on Thursday. You know we're going to talk Jalen Hurts. We're going to talk Carson Wentz. That is the biggest topic we have to discuss moving forward when it comes to the future of the Philadelphia Eagles. But right now, after that win on Sunday against the New Orleans Saints, a red-hot 10-2 team that was on a 9-game win streak, the number one ranked defense in the league, you win that game, and yeah, you're 4-8-1, and you still didn't look completely, you know, in sync on all three phases of this team. But at the same time, that win keeps you alive in the NFC East race. The Eagles are a game and a half back of the Washington football team for first in the division. And so, Gino, we'll start with stock up. I thought there was a lot of positives in that win. And, you know, on defense, on offense, there were some good things. Special teams we'll get into in stock down. But I want to start with offense. Obviously, Jalen Hurts was a big-time spark. But who else on offense did you think really made a positive impact in that win?
Man, stock up to Miles Sanders, dude.
Star, I mean, man. He's a star.
I think Ruben Frank had a tweet about it that he's had more 70-plus yard runs in the last two seasons than the Eagles did since 1995. That's unbelievable. And I think you have to add on to that. Hats off to Howie Roseman, man. I think a lot of the moves that Howie has made came to fruition in this game. Like keeping Alshon on the roster goes out there and gets you a touchdown. Drafting Jalen Hurts, it brings some high quality to this offense. You go out and draft Miles Sanders. I mean, he was responsible for changing up his entire draft philosophy to take a chance on a guy like Miles Sanders over a guy like David Montgomery or a Devin Singletary, guys that had that college production. And man, Miles is a star. Like, I think you have to build this offense moving forward through Miles Sanders. The questions with his catching ability, he kind of did what you wanted him to do last game.
Four catches, yeah.
More catches in space, was able to use his athletic ability, and I think you just need to do more of that. And hats off to the kid, man. I think he's done everything you want and more. He's come in, and he was graded out as the best pass protector for this team, according to Pro Football Focus this week. So hats off to him, man. He really has taken this running back room and made it his own, and I think they did an excellent job with him this weekend.
There's so much meat still on the bone, Gino. I mean, this guy's got...
Right. I don't even think he's at his ceiling, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't even think he's close.
I mean, he has 900 yards, almost 900 yards on a little over 150 touches. He hasn't even scratched the surface based on volume and what he can, you know, the way they utilize him still. There's so many different things you can do with this kid through the air, on the ground. And yeah, he still hasn't been fully unleashed. You're seeing him. That's what I'm so encouraged about him, is he's doing this in such an efficient way with little touches. I mean, he was killing it on Sunday, all three phases, in the red zone as well, two rushing touchdowns. You know, one was the 80 52-yarder, but had another goal line touchdown, and he did it with only 14 carries. So, like you said, I mean, he's a home run hitter waiting to happen. Yes. I mean, yeah.
I'm glad you said that, because when we talked about one player during the draft season last year, and Brandon Ayuk, the one thing that we kept saying was every time he touches the football, he looks to the end zone.
Right.
Like, that killer instinct we saw out of Miles all season last year, and we've seen in flashes this year, you saw it throughout that entire Saints game. Like, every time he touched the ball, you were just waiting. Boom, he hit the first hole. Where's the second level block? He's going to be gone. And you saw it. Like, he is truly the best running back we have seen since LeSean McCoy, man. And if he continues on this pace, I wouldn't question it that he could be one of the best Eagles running backs ever. Because the tread on his tires from Penn State was low. The tread on his tires in the last few seasons has been low.
Yep.
The ceiling is there for him, man, and he just has to go and shatter that glass ceiling, because I think the sky is the limit for this kid. I think he really could be a top three back in this league. I texted my buddies from back home, and I said, Sanders would be right up there with Derrick Henry if he wasn't hurt all season, and they laughed at me. And I said, go back a few weeks. He was only 20 yards behind Derrick Henry at one point before he got injured. Imagine if he wasn't injured all year, Lou. Mm-hmm. He'd have probably 1,500 yards by now.
Oh, yeah, he would. And the other thing is, considering the state of the receiver position for the Eagles the past 2 years, they haven't had a home run hitter. They were hoping it was going to be DeSean Jackson like it was from 2008 to 2013, and they have not had those explosive plays without Miles Sanders, and that's what's huge. Last year, you got it through the air, and then at the end of the year on the ground. This year, he's giving you those home run hits, and it's through running the football, which is crazy. It's not ideal, but Sanders has been that guy for you. It's incredible that he has 4 70-plus yard runs in a little less than 2 years, basically, and three of which went for touchdowns. So he's an absolute star. His stock is soaring up. And Gino, he kind of, you know, him and Jalen Hurts in the backfield, it gave me a little Michael Vick, LeSean McCoy kind of vibes.
Absolutely. I mean, How can you not look at that too, that tandem, and think, man, you have somebody that can move around outside of the pocket at the quarterback position.
It's an exciting duo for sure.
And then you have a home run hitter in Miles Sanders that you just get the ball in space for him, and he's going to run for 100 yards every game. And hats off to their coaching staff too, because the Saints hadn't allowed a 100-yard rusher in 55 consecutive games.
Right.
And they went out there and put two out on there. Out on that defense. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it really was. It again, Michael Vick, LeSean McCoy. It also kind of reminded me of the Ravens when they revived that offense in 2018 through Lamar Jackson. So Jalen Hurts, Miles Sanders, that's the recipe, I think, the rest of the way on offense. Switching the script here and going to defense, Gino, I want to talk about this defensive line. I mean, you can say stock up for everybody. I'll start with Javon Hargrave, because you talked about how this game, a lot of the Howie Roseman big-time decisions that we've been knocking, a lot of them came to light in a positive way on Sunday against the Saints. And Javon Hargrave's a dude I've kind of been on all season, because he's been super disappointing. And he was the big fish free agent. Obviously, you traded for Darius Slay, but the Eagles invested the most money in Javon Hargrave. And, you know, I didn't really know a lot about him coming out of the Pittsburgh Steelers defensive line. You know, that was a line that had stars like TJ Watt and Bud Dupree. And so NFL Twitter, you know, film Twitter was in love with this guy. Injuries, you know, a new system that attacks downhill versus read and react like Pittsburgh defense. I think a lot of that really held Hargrave back, but he didn't look explosive or efficient for the first half of the year. Now he's on fire. He's got 3 sacks in the last 2 games. He's got 4.5 on the year. He had 2 against New Orleans. That signing looks way better. I mean, him and Fletcher Cox inside, they have been disruptive as all hell the last, you know, month and a half of the season. Fletcher Cox too, he's got 5 sacks in 5 games.
Yeah, stock up Matt Burke as the defensive line coach in the last couple weeks as well, man.
Because you could talk about every defensive lineman stock up, Gino. I mean, every single one of them is getting to the quarterback.
Right, even Roquan Williams is out there putting out some fresh reps, man. Yeah. I think he's looking good. I mean, Josh Sweat too, dude. Like, these guys have developed into this system exactly how Jim Schwartz and company wanted them to be. And you finally are seeing it, dude. And hats off to Howie Roseman for signing Javon Hargrave and drafting Josh Sweat. And even Derek Barnett had a hell of a game on Sunday. And Brandon Graham continues to make plays, and Fletcher Cox had a hell of a birthday.
Even
on
Vinnie
Sunday.
Curry and Malik Jackson gave you some good reps. I mean,
yeah, dude, it is what we had wanted to see out of this defensive line for the last 2 years, and a lot of it does go to the coverage on the back end too, Lou. They were the 7th-ranked passing defense in the entire league coming into that game, and they did pretty well. And I think the front four is just what we in Philly have grown to know as what makes our defense turn. And inside, dude, Javon Hargrave and Fletcher Cox, man, I mean, they might be a little bit older in terms of duos, but I don't see Fletch slowing down anytime soon. And Javon is still accelerating into this Jim Schwartz scheme where he could get after the quarterback, man. Whew, 43 sacks, dude. I love it. Keep giving me the pressure. Keep giving me the sacks. I absolutely love what this front four has been doing. It's what we love in Philly. It's what we loved out of Jim Johnson. It's what we love from the old school jerseys with Reggie White and company. Mm-hmm. It continue to do this, and you're going to win football games in the National Football League.
Yeah, and look, with Jim Schwartz, since he became the defensive coordinator in 2016, you've always had an efficient pass rush. Mm-hmm. But, Geno, sometimes, you know, it wouldn't really result in sacks. You didn't really see it turn into those numbers where they got the quarterback on the ground. They always were atop the league in pressures. But this year, what are they, second, maybe first now in sacks? They've been top three.
Second behind Pittsburgh.
Yeah, second behind Pittsburgh. So they've been atop the league in that category throughout the year. They're finally hitting home, and it's so many different guys. Brandon Graham has 7 sacks. Fletcher Cox, 6.5. Josh Sweat, 6. Derek Barnett has 5.5. Javon Hargrave has 4.5. Malik Jackson's got a couple. Vinny Curry's got a couple. They are getting to the quarterback with every single guy on this defensive line. And so I have been on Howie Roseman's ass all season, and justfully so. And the same with Jim Schwartz. But one thing those two guys have done right is build an elite pass rush. And you saw, yeah, Miles Sanders, instrumental in that win. Jalen Hurts, I think Doug Peterson, the creativity pre-snap, huge for this team. Jordan Mailata was awesome up front. The offensive line run blocked incredibly. But I think the huge reason you won that game, the main reason you won that game, was the defensive line. When you saw the secondary fall apart, Darius Slay goes down, Rodney McLeod goes down, Avante Maddox, you already had bad linebackers. This pass rush stepped up and they got to Taysom Hill.
Absolutely. And something that we have seen hurt the Eagles in the past is these running quarterbacks that make you think a little bit. And I thought the best unit in terms of staying gap sound this week was that defensive line. They just did their job. They put their head down. They stayed in their gap. They stayed true to their assignment, and it really paid off. They won that game for the Eagles, in my opinion. Some of those great defensive stops that you needed, some of the turnovers that you needed, you got from that defense. And finally, all this money that we've put into that defensive line, we are reaping the rewards.
More than any team in the NFL, man. More than any team in the NFL, the Eagles have invested the most money on the defensive line, and they came through. That strip sack by Josh Sweat, just incredible. And then Sweat had another big sack on that drive, the next drive on defense, and Javon Hargrave had another one. So, Gino, it wasn't just
on Teron Armstead, Lou.
Yeah.
On one of the best left tackles in the league. I forgot who it was. I saw somebody on Twitter. When they grade out pass rush reps, he only said that he gave out 10 what he calls rare high quality pass rush reps. And he gave one of those to Josh Sweat on that rep where he got the strip sack on Teron, or where he just absolutely motored over Teron Armstead and got the strip sack. It just an unbelievable talent that has probably been the best fourth round pick in that entire draft.
They said, I remember when they took Josh Sweat out of Florida State that year, there was a lot of people that said that could be the steal of the draft. And right now, man, it looks like it's going to be that. He's 3 years in. He has developed. He's taken huge steps in his development every year. He's got 6 sacks this year. You see the pass rush moves, the repertoire. He already had all the physical gifts, an incredible, 1,000-foot long wingspan, you know, a huge, fast, explosive get off, super strong. I mean, he looks like a cyborg. He looks like Jadeveon Clowney. And then you see all the technical skills coming along with that now as well. And that's why he's got 6 sacks. And the kid's only 24 years old, and he's already in year 3.
Yeah, 24 years old, Lou. That's something that you look at him and Derek Barnett. They were both young guys, and you have a decision to make in which one of those two individuals you are going to keep on this roster. And, man, Josh Sweat, his pass rush ability is just something that we really haven't seen out of, as a true 5-9 tech type player that can win with speed to power. He can win with his agility. He can win just absolutely manhandling guys like Teron Armstead. And his hip flexibility is unbelievable. His hand fighting ability is unbelievable. Just somebody that you really needed these diamonds in the rough to come out, especially when you're having these injuries. And he's been one of those guys. And on defense, I think there's been a lot of diamonds that have come out this season and really shown through. And Josh Sweat, above all of them, I think, has been the best one.
Louis DiBiase, Gino Camilleri. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. Stock up, stock down. We'll get into stock down coming up next. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Today's episode of Locked On Eagles is brought to you by Built Go, which comes from the same great people that make the best tasting protein bar out there at Built Bar. Built Go is the solution to breaking through your wall. What is that wall? Is it a mental wall? Is it a physical wall? For me, it's kind of both. I work at the radio stations overnight from 10 o'clock p.m. to 5 a.m., so that's both a mental grind and a physical grind, and I get through it with Built Go. It's 5-hour energy without that same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for your body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. And best of all, they've got better flavors. Three delicious ones. You got peanut butter honey, you got chocolate coconut, and you got chocolate mint. Visit BuiltGo.com today, and when you use the promo code LOCKED, that's L-O-C-K-E-D, you're going to get 20% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED, L-O-C-K-E-D, for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Built Go. Let's go. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into this Tuesday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Louis DiBiase, Gino Camilleri. All right, Gino, we got into stock up, running back Miles Sanders, defensive tackle Javon Hargrave, defensive end Josh Sweat, the entire defensive line, basically. We talked up Jordan Mailata as well. Let's get into stock down now. I mean, because this was a big win for the Eagles against a 10-2 team. On a 9-game win streak, the Saints were the number one ranked defense in the league, and you put up 24 points on them, you know, over 200 rushing yards. It's the best rushing defense in the league. So there was a lot of good to take away from this win, and most importantly, it kept you alive in the NFC East race. But at the same time, as you said in segment one, there's still a lot of work to be done with this team on offense, on defense, and on special teams. So let's get into it. Stock down, who was the maybe the unit or the player or the coach that drove you nuts the most against New Orleans?
How there was discussion a few years ago that Dave Phipp should get head coaching considerations.
That's crazy.
Is absolutely crazy to me. Yeah. Yes, he had that absolutely remarkable 2015 season where they were the best special teams unit, but frankly, they were just a bad football team then, and that was the only unit that did anything productive for that team. If it wasn't for Cam Johnston and Rick Lovato just being so sound at their two respective positions, what Dave Phipp has done in terms of the return unit and the kicking unit is just an absolute shame. Doug Peterson, we rip on him so much. He has no faith in that special teams unit, Lou. Mm-hmm. Why has he gone for it so many times on fourth down in opponent's territory? Because he simply can't kick field goals. Jake Elliott has been absolutely downright poor. After starting out with a 84% field goal percentage in 2017, 84 in 18, 85 in 2019, he's currently sitting at 72% made in regards to field goal percentage. And worst of all, Lou, he missed a 20-yard field goal last week. That's unacceptable in my terms. And Greg Ward on the back end returning punts? Is he returning punts?
He's not even trying.
There was one punt, Lou, where he had about 15 yards between him and the nearest defender. I looked right at my fiance Jen. I go, he won't get more than 5 yards on this return. He got 3. He brings no excitement to that position. He makes unbelievably boneheaded decisions, not fielding some of those punts inside of the 10-yard line, leaving them with poor field position time after time. And Dave Phipp is going to sit here and do something that we saw out of Jim Schwartz and defend him like Nate Geary was defended? Absolutely not.
Collins last year with Carson Walsh?
Yes, definitely. I think it is beyond time to move on from Dave Phipp. I think he's just made some bad decisions that have cost this team in the worst ways possible. When you can't afford to be behind the eight ball because your offense is moving inefficiently,
right,
you need a good special teams unit. And they just have not had a good special teams unit this year. PFF has them ranked out as the third or fourth highest special teams graded team in the NFL. I think that's outright unbelievable in my opinion, because if you didn't have high quality players like Rudy Ford and Davion Taylor who were making unbelievable tackles, I'm sure there would be a couple more returns for touchdowns against them. And if Jalen Reagor was returning more of these kicks, we probably would have some more touchdowns and more points created out of this return unit. And Jalen Reagor right now, Lou, has returned 3 punts and returned 1 for a touchdown. That's 33%. You know what Greg Ward has done? Absolutely nothing in that department. It is mind-boggling to me that you have to sit here and literally just look at the stats alone, Lou, and stats are to me, you could paint them many different ways, but just looking at the efficiency from returns in regards to Greg Ward versus Jalen Reagor, it is an astronomical difference. That is one decision to me that if I'm Doug, I say you never let Greg Ward field another punt. We need the field position. We need somebody that can bring explosiveness. We have this player here. And Greg Ward in the wide receiver game as well, Lou, I think it's time to move on from him altogether. I think he was a flash in the pan in 2019. He's had some good plays this year, but, man, he's just somebody that this organization and fans have loved. I think you would get much more out of Jalen Reagor in the return game. I think you'd get much more out of Travis Fulham being a big slot in the passing game. But overall, man, special teams has cost this team time and time and time again this season. I'm just sick of it because it is the third element of football. You cannot win without having a good unit, and it has been bad. I'm sorry that I had to go on that rant, but it was
not good. You're fighting the good fight because it's not been talked about enough how bad the special teams unit's been, and it's especially hurting them because, like you said, the offense has been so inconsistent. Eagles fans should know, of all fan bases, how important special teams is. We saw what DeSean Jackson could do for this team from 2008 to 2011 when he was, to me, the best punt returner in football. And you mentioned 2015 and 2014 as well, when they were very inconsistent on offense with Chip Kelly. That special teams unit would get blocked punts, returned for touchdowns. They would block field goals. Darren Sproles was taking returns to the house, and you saw how crucial that element can be. You can't just ignore special teams. And this year, it's been hurting them. It hasn't just not been helping. It's been hurting them. Punt return-wise, kick return-wise. Again, they're fielding punts. Their punt coverage has been really good. And, you know, like you said, Rudy Ford's been huge. Singleton, TJ Edwards, and those players have really come up big. And that's probably why they're graded so high through PFF. But you're right, man. The punt return game, especially in the kicking game, have been a disaster. For some reason, I told you this before we started the show. This is like the life cycle of an Eagles kicker. You know, you draft or you sign a young, promising kid with a really big leg. He has an awesome first year. And then he drops off the face of the earth. Alex Henry, this has happened to Alex Henry, Cody Parkey, and now Jake Elliott. So what sucks, Gino, is you're kind of stuck with Jake Elliott because if you cut him, what, it's like $8 million in dead cap? I mean, you're kind of screwed.
Yeah, you have no choice, honestly. I think you just have to try and see right now in the last couple of weeks and bring in another young kicker to see what they have and just put a little bit of pressure on Jake, much like you did to Carson Wentz by benching him for Jalen Hurts. You have to do the same. Accountability is huge for this team, especially moving forward. I think there are a lot of guys in the last 3 years that have just been handed jobs because of what they did in that Super Bowl run, and I think Elliott is one of those guys.
That's a great point. So stock down for Greg Ward, Dave Phipp, Jake Elliott, really the entire special teams unit as a whole. Another one, Gino, you mentioned Greg Ward. I'm talking about how it's probably time to find a more dynamic slot receiver. Talked about maybe Travis Fulgham as a big slot option. Stock down for Travis Fulgham, though, for sure. I mean, he can't get on the field now over Alshon Jeffrey, or even they. And I know it was because Jalen Hurts has been throwing mostly to guys like Quez Watkins through practice, so Doug Peterson wanted to utilize the guys that Hurts has been working with the most. But Quez Watkins was out there way more than Travis Fulgham. And while I think some of it is unfair, and I think a lot of it is them forcing Alshon on the field and other players and might not be as good or as productive as Fulgham. At the same time, Gino, I think it was more, not to say it was a flash in the pan, but I think when it comes to the spectrum of Travis Fulgham being a future wide receiver one or wide receiver two, like we might have thought he could be, versus on the other side of that spectrum, you know, being a flash in the pan, I think he is closer to being that. It just, you know, he's been, what, he has 24 yards in the last three games. Some of it's on the coaching staff and just the situation, but also I think Travis Fulgham just isn't as good as we thought, unfortunately.
It's definitely possible. I think a lot of it has to go to the coaching staff. I definitely agree that there are elements beyond what Travis Fulgham is bringing to this team to why he hasn't seen reps. I mean, I think they're doing their best audition of Alshon Jeffrey these last couple of weeks to possibly move that contract.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So if you take away Alshon being – if he wasn't playing these last couple games, I think Travis has a little bit more production. But, yeah, man, the same thing with JJ. Like, they just – all of a sudden, they just don't see the field. Like, it is crazy how they cycle in those wide receivers. But we've gave Moorhead his dues, and I think he's done a good job with getting the young guys ready to play, and Jalen Reagor, who I thought has been very good the last couple weeks. I think getting Quez Watkins involved in the game plan this week was nice. Getting him in the open field, Lou, a little bit of space in front of him. Yeah. You saw that electricity that he could bring, and I think he'll bring another element to that unit. John Hightower has gotten ready to play at times, and just hats off to what they've done in that department. But you're right, Lou. Travis Fulham has definitely fallen off the face of the earth. Mm-hmm. And those Jeremy Maclin, DeSean Jackson talks that we had maybe have been a little bit premature, but I don't think he's a player that you can say is a broken player yet. I think he's still a good player, and I still think he can learn a lot more in this offseason. And he was a guy that just came in partway through the season, Lou, so he still has a long way to becoming a perfect player in this Eagles offense. So I definitely will agree with you in terms of him, his stock going down, especially with what the other receivers have been able to do the last couple weeks.
Gino, before we wrap up, let's stick on receiver here. I want to talk about Jalen Reagor. Not that his stock is down, because he's made some big plays the last 2 weeks. He had that 31-yard reception from Jalen Hurts against Green Bay. He returned that punt to the house to put the Eagles back in that game at Lambeau. And then this week he had a big reverse for 20 yards, and he had that reception of 30-plus. So he's making those splash plays that you saw at TCU and that explosiveness. But at the same time, I don't know what to do with him here, stock up, stock down-wise, because, again, he's made plays, but I don't know, man. Maybe he's hurt, or he comes off the field looking so stiff to me. And I know he had a slow three cone, and you know he kind of struggled in that department through the draft process. But even his straight line speed didn't look that impressive to me, man. Like when he was taking off down the left sidelines, it almost looked like he was injured. And is he that stiff? Is he Devin Duvernay, or what? I don't know what to feel about Jalen Reagor right now. Like he's making plays, but he's also I have some concerns about him right now.
I think you can take what he did on that punt return touchdown and kind of extrapolate on it a little bit to what he can do in the offensive game plan. And I don't think he's a true X yet, where he's going to blow you away with beating press coverage. Right. I think that was a big question mark that we had coming out of TCU with a limited offseason, with his injury that he had too. I mean, it's definitely a question. I mean, I'm sure this entire team is injured right now. Everybody on this team has a knock against them. But all in all, I think Reagor still is a guy that needs to benefit from better play calling, because when has he made these plays these last couple of weeks? When he's gotten in space and they've schemed him open. And that's what you wanted when you drafted him. You didn't want Justin Jefferson, somebody who has blown away all expectations, but your evaluation of him was he's going to be a redundant type player for you. Jalen Reagor was everything that we hadn't seen since DeSean. And you look at why DeSean was so electric back then, Lou. He wasn't the best X receiver by any means. And I talked to Dan Hatman, who was part of that selection process, and he said coming out of Cal, they knew he wasn't going to be a guy that was going to win straight up in the corner's face. He's going to have to be a Y receiver or a Z receiver that plays off the line a little bit. And hey, if that's what Jalen Reagor has to be, so be it. But the coaching staff needs to do a better job helping him out, especially if he is injured, Lou.
And
he
they did, right? I mean, the last 2 weeks, they certainly did.
Definitely. And I think he had a tough assignment going against New Orleans this week. You're going up against Marshawn Lattimore a lot of the time, and Janoris Jenkins, two very good corners in their own right. So he has done a good job against pretty good talent the last 2 weeks, Lou. So if I'm going to take anything out of Jalen Rager's evaluation, it's what he's done against these good teams and these good competition. And even though he is a little stiff, I'm sure the injury does have something to do with it. Like we said with Carson, like we say with a lot of these players, don't make them be who they aren't. Don't make Jalen Reagor be Alshon Jeffrey, where you want him to beat man coverage 10 times out of 10. That's not who he's going to be. He'll do it probably one or two times a game, but get him open. Scheme this team open. Get him in on those fake orbit motions, which they did a very good job at this week, getting him involved and getting him in space and finding ways where using Jalen Hurts as an 11-on-11 player made it a lot easier for the other players to get open as well. So I'm a little higher on Jalen than probably you are right now, but I think there are a lot of elements that could help Reagor out in his evaluation in these last couple games here.
Yeah, and I'm not like low on Reagor. I'm just a little concerned because I saw him, you know, when he came back, for instance, that Sunday night game against Dallas, I thought he was moving incredibly. And a lot of it has been on the offense just not utilizing him enough, you know, pre-snap or motion, the reverses, those mesh concepts that you saw. The one play, that's how he got open on that big-time reception for 30-plus yards. It's just I noticed like mm-hmm. just he was moving, and I know he's just more of a stiff player in general. That the numbers show that in his testing, but yeah, it just like I didn't see that same second gear that I saw at TCU and I saw earlier in the season when he beat Ronald Darby down the field week one and when he made plays against Dallas. And so that's why I'm concerned. Maybe there's an injury we don't know of, or mm-hmm. I don't know. Who knows?
He has come back relatively quick from all these injuries.
Yeah,
so who's,
that's the thing.
But also double-edged sword. I'm going to play devil's advocate. His competitive toughness level, man. He's competing his butt off every single time. I mean, even that ball that he had from Jalen Hurts that was a little outside of his catch range, mm-hmm. he didn't stop on the route, man.
He tracks the ball really well.
Does. He really does. And so. it's a great turn. It's a great 180 turn from what we saw in Nelson Agholor last year. And hey, man, if we're picking in the top 10 and we have a chance to get Jamar Chase or Devonta Smith, imagine that 1-2 punch, Lou. Whew.
It'd be exciting. Yeah, Rager's making plays.
I'm sweating thinking about that.
Yeah, Rager is certainly making plays. Just, yeah, there's some things I want to keep a close eye on when it comes to that stiffness and, you know, route running against man coverage. But like you said as well, he just might be a player like Deshaun that it takes him longer to develop those skills. I mean, Jackson, yeah, it took him, you know, he wasn't that guy, but later in his career, Geno, Deshaun Jackson became a hell of a route runner against man coverage. And so that's something you can develop over time. But that's our talk on Jalen Rager, on Travis Fulgham, special teams unit that was Stock Down right here on the Lockdown Eagles podcast. This has been Stock Up, Stock Down. We'll do it again next Tuesday, and we have three more episodes this week downloaded into your phone as well when you subscribe to Lockdown Eagles. And we're always talking birds after the show as well on Twitter. Hit us up at Lockdown Birds or at DBLC. LOE. For my co-host Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.